The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
As we continue on Get Up, once again, a huge night for Dan Orlovsky. Our old buddy Mike Tirico had the moment.
Second and 10 from his own end zone. Garoppolo's out of the end zone. It's a safety. Remember, Dan Orlovsky did that. Stepped all the way out of the end zone. It's a safety, and that kills the play before everything else on the pick. I kind of want to say I'm sorry to Dan Orlovsky, but that's the first thing that pops to my mind.
2 seconds. 2 seconds
is how long it took Tirico to mention
from
you.
Moment of being the best until Tirico just firing away.
That's a great moment. So you have never. You know what? I feel like Roger Maris's family should have been sitting there as you know this record was broken. You had this by yourself for so long. It was like the Aaron Judge moment.
I'm surprised
right there.
They didn't cut into the Aaron Judge at bats with live updates of that play.
Jimmy G stepped out of bounds. It was a pick eight. He threw a pick six and a safety on the same play. All right, we continue. We are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 7. Huge hour behind us, but a bigger one is on the way, and it begins with the Battle of the Bays yesterday. The two legends going head-to-head, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. How legendary is Brady? He's got a shirt with a picture of himself. What do you think, RC?
Hey, I would wear my face on a shirt, too, if I played so long. I could have had two lifetimes in the NFL. I like it, Tom Brady.
I was thinking with that haircut. Romeo, wherefore art thou? Romeo Dobbs
had the end zone.
A really good job. We've seen that pick play and man coverage down on the goal line so many times.
Rodgers, 255 and two touchdowns. That one, Alan Lazard.
Yeah, that was subtlety from Aaron catch that snap. He goes like this, the backers fly, he replaces him with that little slant.
And then his old buddy Randall Cobb is open, and this is going to go down to the 22. And it's 14-3 late in the second quarter. The Packers are going into score. They're going to blow this game open, and then
Vita Vea drops and he sandwiches Aaron Jones between Aaron Jones and Lavonte David. I could not imagine
that's
what
a free safety.
Like. That's
a free safety.
What a defender ever.
But Tampa's not able to take advantage.
Ball out.
Rashad Perriman with a fumble. So it's 14-3 Green Bay at halftime. Tampa still has not scored a first-half touchdown this season. Early third. Rodgers, he never throws picks except against Tampa.
Listen, this is a great play by Logan Ryan. He's the lurker. He inserts very late. Aaron Rodgers never sees him. And he was a huge pickup this offseason. Has allowed this team to elevate at the free safety
box. Kick a field goal. So it's 14-6. Tampa had no offense the entire day, but it's a one-score game. And then they get to Rodgers late. So here we go. Off the sack. Packers have to punt. Tampa gets one last drive here. Again, it's an 8-point game, and in this case, they move the ball right down the field.
Green Bay softened up. They knew the clock was in their favor, and Tom did a really good job of getting the ball out of his hands, taking checkdowns.
I want to talk about the clock being in their favor in a moment, but 30 seconds left. Brady, Cameron Brate, and that's a flag. Good call.
Absolutely. You're going to see Brate get tugged by Amos 31 right there. If not, he hits that out route.
Third and goal, 18 seconds to play. Not sure they beat the play clock here, but it counts, and it's a touchdown.
Yeah, really good job peeking backside. Douglas isn't there. Yeah. Puts it on Russell Gage's back hip.
Remember what I said about the play clock? Well, here we go for the 2-point conversion. They need this to tie.
Watch all the moving parts, Green. That's one move. That's two moves.
Yeah,
now we go check. Fournette's got to go back. So that's three, four. Clock runs out, and they don't have any timeout to make sure they can stop the clock.
I thought we were watching Denver.
Omaha.
It did not work. Not so now they got to go for it from the 7-yard line. And here we go. Brady.
No Mike Evans. I mean, without Mike Evans, they got no shot against the good defense which Green Bay has.
Amen.
For the last 15 years, that would have been Gronk in that situation he'd have been looking for. 14-12, your final. Rodgers beats Brady. So many things. And I think you just touched on it there, but I'm sure a lot of people watching it say they don't get the playoff on the 2-point conversion. Is that the legendary quarterback's fault?
No, it's all the issues that they've had with people being not a part of their football team. I mean, think about it. Look at new offensive linemen. Now, Perriman goes in motion. Hey, Scotty, you got to be moved down a little bit. Who's on the ball? Hey, check. That's not going to happen with, you know, the normal offensive linemen that they have, the more normal communication. So that's strictly a byproduct of all those different pieces on offense.
Okay, that said, Rex, when was this game actually decided?
This game was decided when Mike Evans was suspended. I mean, flat out, that's it. This guy's got no one to throw to. Only Mike Evans is the best receiver in the red zone in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. You think they could have used him there? Absolutely could have. And so, to me, that was it. Brady has nobody, guys. They have no one to throw to. Russell
Gage. I was told by everyone they were going to be fine.
He had like 18 targets, and he's the four at best. And so, to me, I'm just like, I would sign up to play this team right now. I mean, any day of the week that they wanted to do it. Now, when Evans is back and Godwin back, I don't want him.
That's the point. That's the point. The right now was the most important part of that.
Yeah.
Will the Bucs ultimately be fine? Because in theory, they will get all these guys
absolutely
back.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's the theory that you're working on. You're working on having an elite defense and understanding that you have Pro Bowl caliber players all over the offense who aren't able to dress out right now. And when you watch this team fight yesterday, after not playing well for most of the game, they're a two-point conversion away from going to overtime. Mm-hmm. And actually, if they get that playoff, it's the right play to call. And so if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're not going to sit in the building today and say, oh, if we had all these guys, we would be great. But you do understand it's about who you are week 17, week 18, not week 3, and they plan on being
How about the other side? A quick moment on Aaron Rodgers, because, I mean, he's going to have this whole season figuring it out with his weapons, and he was sharp yesterday.
Flawless minus one decision, and that's the Logan Ryan interception. And we can make the case that Tampa Bay's defense was probably the best defense in the league through the first 2 weeks. The subtle nuances that he did in his bootleg game was great. This play's awesome. Watch him peek back inside to the receiver to get Carlton Davis to slip inside. That equals a short throw to be a big completion. And then this play's beautiful because he catches the ball, peeks to the left, the linebackers fly, and he replaces it for the slant. So we haven't given him enough credit for his performance of the past 2 weeks because he went up against a defense that has been playing like out football. Yeah. They don't have superstars on the perimeter right now. Yeah. Bakhtiari being back was a big deal. But I just think that the example of, hey, can this offense get up to speed to be Super Bowl caliber? Yesterday's a really good example of it because it's not just the way he throws the ball. It's all the other things that allow those people to play better.
Well, the big thing was this, right? We asked all offseason, how will Aaron Rodgers elevate these players, right? How will he make them better?
Yesterday.
You saw that, but I think the question we should have been asking is how will Aaron Rodgers adjust, right? Will Aaron Rodgers be comfortable becoming a different quarterback than we've seen in the last 2 years when he was the MVP? And I think last week and yesterday is starting to show us that he's comfortable with finding a way to win and waiting for those guys to come along.
I also think their two-back package with Dylan and Aaron Jones on the field is a big deal because Aaron Jones in many ways is becoming a wide receiver type of player that they put in the backfield a bunch. They could do a lot of different things out of it.
Romeo Doubs had 8 catches, 73 yards.
He's coming.
Good. Moving on for the rookie there. Okay, so that one wasn't an artistic masterpiece. This one was South Florida. Oh, what a game. Dolphins and the Bills. It's Tua against Josh Allen. Second quarter already tied at 7. Allen, Isaiah McKenzie, he was hot in the early going.
Well, they had a great plan for Miami's defensive all-out zero-man pressures. You could see McKenzie on the shallow cross there, walking touchdown.
But then how good is this throw?
On the double post. Puts his back foot in the ground. 1, 2, 3. Hit it. Craycraft come across the safety's face. Bang, bang, touchdown.
So we're tied at 14. Now here's the moment we'll be talking about, RC, as Tua Tagovailoa goes down, and this one looked real bad.
This looked extremely bad. Honestly, when you see him go down, you actually aren't paying attention to the hit. It's when he's running back to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. When you see a guy who can't even hold himself up in the new age of the NFL protecting players, especially quarterbacks, I did not expect to see Tua Tagovailoa back in this football game.
He would clear concussion protocol. He'd say afterwards it was his back. Take that for what it's worth. So, he's back in the game now after a Dolphins punt. 14 seconds to go in the half. This is an enormous moment as the Bills are unable to get points.
It's the right play. You throw a quick little slant. You got enough time to get up to the ball and spike it, and then you're going to get a field goal attempt off. I honestly believe that Josh Allen's hands are so sweaty, he doesn't get this snap, bobbles it, and then he doesn't have the time to spike it, throws it out to Stephon Diggs. Watch this clip right here. Goes right through his hands as he's trying to go make that spike. Unfortunate event for the Buffalo Bills, but has huge impact on this
very game. Fortunate it's not a pick six in the head.
True.
Wonder if those 3 points would wind up meaning a lot. Fourth quarter now. Dolphins the
come
ball.
Come on, Greeny.
Down by 3.
Come on, Greeny.
How about this throw?
Peek to the left. Come back. 3rd and 22. Can you make a better throw? No.
Mm-hmm.
You literally cannot make a better throw in between the two safeties on the post.
And then they punch it in with Chase Edmonds here. And so the Dolphins have the lead in the fourth quarter. Here we go. Rex, your guy, Josh Allen, fourth down, fighting like crazy. He's got the receiver open in the corner of the end zone. It's McKenzie.
He
doesn't get there.
And I mean,
Look, I think he wanted Diggs, and then he tries to adjust late and just doesn't put enough on the ball.
Dolphins still have the lead, but wait, there's more. Here we go. Dolphins have to punt from the back of their own end zone. And to the everlasting delight of Mark Sanchez, Thomas Morstead punts it directly off the butt. What's that called?
That's called the butt punt.
Hey, my man was egging cheeky, wasn't he?
That's Trent Sherfield.
I love it.
Whose buttocks are in the wrong place.
Yeah, you can't have him there, man.
You got to have the big bruiser.
Yeah, you can't have him there, bro.
So it's a two-point.
Might well step up.
So now it's a two-point game. Here we go. Second and 10 at the 23. Final 2 minutes. Allen, Gabe Davis. They're moving it down the field.
Oh, my God.
But here it comes again. Remember when they didn't get a playoff at the end of the first half? Here's the end of the ball game, Danny.
You're really thinking 18 seconds on the clock. You get a completion, get up to the ball, spike it for a Hail Mary attempt. But that play takes so long.
Yeah.
Naturally, you want to have a 9-1-1, meaning 9-1-1, 9-1, everyone to get to the ball. The Hail Mary is happening, not the spike. They kind of get caught in between.
Yeah.
No time for that. No time for the spike, and the clock runs out.
Look at the emotion, not just from Allen, but from his offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, up in the booth. This was the video everybody saw.
I said, no cheese, Mom! No cheese!
This was Ken Dorsey and the Bills frustrated. I mean, what an extraordinary game this was, and what an extraordinary win for the Dolphins. Let's start by talking about them, because, I mean, we can find all the difference in this game, how much of it comes down to where it was played and when.
Oh, it's the biggest factor in this game. And I told everybody, nobody wants to listen, the biggest home field advantage in the National Football League is right there in Miami. When you have a 1 o'clock start, all right, especially in September when it's 100 degrees and all that, your team as an opponent is in the sun the entire time. And when does it affect you? Especially in the fourth quarter. But we saw those things. Dan, you talked about the hands of Josh Allen, all that. Believe me, it's a huge difference. You never saw the other team cramping, right? Because they're in the shade the entire time. So everybody, of course, they're like, well, it's the same conditions on the field. Yeah, not on the sideline when you're supposed to be getting rest. I'm just telling you, it is such an advantage and a brilliant move of when they designed that stadium, a brilliant move to put the opponents in that heat.
And again, the Bills are playing on the short week, and they had a bunch of guys banged up, but that does not mean we should take away from what feels like the biggest win the Dolphins have had, I mean this, since Dan Marino was their quarterback.
No, it absolutely is, and you can look at this game, and smart people understand the Bills were not at full strength.
No doubt.
But that doesn't mean that Bills team isn't good enough to go into many stadiums and come out with wins. And to me, it's what Tua Tagovailoa did yesterday from a leadership standpoint, from a toughness standpoint, basically willing the team by his sheer presence that we're going to be out here and we're going to continue to fight. And I'm going to be honest, guys. I watched Teddy Bridgewater's series. It was not good. They needed Tua Tagovailoa to come back on that field and make some plays. And so when you think about the Miami Dolphins and the way that they are capable of playing defense, the pressure we saw they were able to put on Josh Allen, the early forced fumble by Javon Holland, picked up by Melvin Ingram, forcing them to not be able to get a field goal off late in the game or Hail Mary. All of those things lead to this team under a brand new head coach, never seeming like the moment is too big for them, and I think their quarterback is earning that seat.
Let's talk about the quarterback, Dan. All the question marks about Tua. What's he shown you in these last 2 weeks?
Ball placement. I mean, and that's why you took him at the number 5 pick.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they won that football game. And that's why the reason that you sit there and go, can Tua be good? Absolutely, because ball placement always matters. This is a little RPO flat route, and the ball has to be thrown on the face mask so he can catch and run. That's a 4-yard throw, and people at home probably like, not a big deal. It is because he gets 12 yards. But they kind of compound on top of each other. Ball fake, and you're going to get a wrap by Jalen Waddle. Safety in the middle of field, RC is going to drive it. Let me put it on the back hip, right?
Yep.
Ball placement always matters because when it's needed the most, Tua always has it. Down in the red zone, you're going to get quarters coverage. Rivers Craycraft is going to run the post. Put your back foot in the ground and rip it, Tua. Look at what he's throwing his ball. He's already making a decision. The receiver's not even nowhere near ready for this football. He's got to go across the free safety's face to make sure that he protects the football. I need you to put it on the chest. He absolutely does it. Tua, because the thing that he does with his superpower ball placement is starting to be no longer a laughing stock or a punchline in the NFL.
The Dolphins are the last unbeaten team in the AFC. Philadelphia's 3-0. The Giants, who play tonight, are 2-0. Who's the best team in football right now?
Oh, Buffalo Bills. Not
still
even close.
Buffalo, despite
not
the
even
loss.
Close. Yeah. And when I look at this game, They're without six starters on defense.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, six starters. They held Miami to 200 yards. All right, so and that offense is amazing. And yeah, the Heat got him, man.
Right.
This was I said it was going to be the biggest challenge for him all season was going at Miami.
I'm coming back to this game a little bit later in this hour. We have much more to say on it. We'll take a short break. We have so much coming up here in hour number two. Is it possible we're underestimating Lamar Jackson? The Ravens quarterback is doing things we have never seen before right now, and I will prove it to you next. Plus, it's a good old-fashioned rivalry game tonight. Giants, Cowboys, Stephen A. will join us with his prediction as we roll on next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back. Our next stop, Ravens Patriots in Foxborough yesterday. And I tell you what, the fourth quarter collapse of the Ravens last week sort of overshadows the fact, Dan Orlovsky, that no one is playing better than Lamar Jackson.
Preseason MVP pick by yours truly. I love the fact that he was ready for zero right there from New England's defense. Gave Mark Andrews a chance on that scene.
Ravens up 14-10, third Bye-bye. Quarter. It's 21-20, and here comes Lamar.
Cookies, we saw the quarterback run game for Baltimore really get going yesterday. The multitudes of different things they could do with their lateral motion using Lamar as a weapon.
Three plays later, throws it up in the corner.
This tight end, Devin Duvernay. I love that ball by Lamar in the corner. High ball. Duvernay's starting to come on, especially down in the red zone as a pass-catching threat.
Ravens up 28-20. This was a wild game. Fourth quarter, Pats are down by five. Third and goal, Mac Jones. He's known for not making the big mistake. This is a bad decision.
Well, when you don't have a plan, this is what happens. Mistakes, they actually get all-out pressure in Baltimore. It doesn't look like kind of the story of the season that New England has any plan. Mac's got to throw that ball away, but it seemed like he got surprised.
Late fourth, Lamar Jackson has four touchdowns on the day. Scratch that. Now he has five touchdowns on the day.
Not enough. This kid is playing incredible football right now for this football team.
So now it's 37-26, 2 minutes to go. Mac Jones throws it. It's picked off, and that's going to seal it. But take a look at what happens to Jones on the end of this play. Calais Campbell takes him down, and you can see he lands on the ankle, and he goes hopping off.
That looks bad.
Enormous pain. X-rays, the good news is that X-rays were negative. So it's not broken. It is expected to be a high ankle sprain. It's not clear just how bad
injury, though.
The injury is going to be. It's a terrible injury. Yeah. We certainly wish the best for him. But let's focus for a moment. I said it at the beginning. If not for that fourth quarter collapse last week, so all we talked about coming out of Baltimore, Miami last week was how the Ravens gave that game away. What we are not talking about is that Lamar Jackson is playing better than he did when he was the MVP.
Lamar Jackson is playing the best ball he's ever played in his life. And I'm talking about this is when he was going crazy at Louisville, like he was playing with young teenagers.
No, that was the Heisman.
Everything Lamar Jackson is doing is working for the Baltimore Ravens. There is no player in the league that is asked to do more for a team, but who is delivering at a higher, more elite rate than Lamar Jackson. He's not just only in the MVP conversation. He is setting a new quarterback market every time he steps on the field. Mm. For all the things that we said about the young guns that were coming up, oh, Joe Burrow's better, oh, Justin Herbert's better, it looks different, but it's not better. Lamar Jackson is the scariest player at the position in the entire world. If they playing football in Portugal, he better than all them. If they playing football in Ireland, he better than all them. Ireland. If they are playing in Greenland, he better than all them too. Lamar Jackson is doing everything you need to do from the position, and we have to stop being bored of watching his greatness.
Who does he remind you of?
He reminds me of Aaron Judge. Oh, yeah, Aaron Judge, that's right. The guy that bet on himself that the Yankees are sitting back saying, here's the money we're going to give you. Well, homeboy, you should have pumped in an extra $10 million for a year and give him an extension, because that's what it's going to take in Baltimore for an organization that usually does the right thing. You did the wrong thing by not signing this guy to a contract, because every team's going to be like, okay, when those franchise tags are gone, baby, we're going to get Lamar Jackson on our team.
I think RC's point of not getting bored with it or taking it for granted and underappreciating is big. These are the dumbest numbers. You know how we often say, like, he looks like a video game? In Lamar's last 2 weeks, he's thrown for 536 yards and 7 touchdowns and ran for 226 yards and 2 touchdowns. His 17-game season projection is 5,600 yards and 68 touchdowns. I mean, that is literally video game stuff. And I'm not going to take it for granted. He's the MVP of the league.
Right now, he is the leading candidate, it would seem, for MVP of the league. And I agree. Look, this was an offseason not only of his contract, but is he a top 10 quarterback, all those ranks that came out, all that kind of stuff. I mean, he is shutting everybody up right now. And if not for one terrible quarter, we'd be talking about the Ravens with any team in the sport right now. Meanwhile, I want to do Sunday superlatives. I'm trying to get a lot of stuff in today. Let's do some Sunday superlatives. Dan, who impressed you the most yesterday?
Trevor Lawrence. I mean, we're talking about a young man right now under Doug Peterson that getting the ball out of his hands, but he's making great decisions, the right ones, down in the red zone. Yesterday, down in the red zone, he goes 6-for-10 for 3 touchdowns. You see the confidence when he hits his back foot right now. That ball is getting out. Doug Peterson is doing a beautiful job of allowing the athleticism to be a big part of his game. They got the right pieces around him. His ball placement right now is as good as anybody's in the league. In many cases, he's playing big-time ball.
Rex, who was the biggest disappointment?
I think it's the Raiders, Greedy. And when I look at it, this is a team that, like, this offense just looks dragging to me. Yeah. Like something's a little off. And sometimes this happens when you put in new verbiage, new system with a quarterback and all that. But look, their defense we knew their defense was going to struggle, but it struggled mightily in critical moments. And then offensively, red zone, all those things that you expect Carr to be better at, he's struggling.
RC, break down my favorite play of the day.
My favorite play is Vita Vea dropping into the 3-receiver hook, breaking on the ball, and getting the big hit. This looks like thick Troy Polamalu right here. He's supposed to do this all the time. The same hair, same heritage, the same type of break and explosion. And when you get hit by 350 pounds, it really doesn't matter where it hits you, how hard it hits you, but it hurts. And you see the football come out here. When you get to the sideline and you think it to yourself, you know what? Wait till I eat after this game, because I have earned it. Feet of
big. You saw him thick, Troy Polamalu?
Yeah, coming up
with two C's.
It was the Dolphins' biggest win since Dan Marino. But Tua have even been on the field. Stephen A. will talk about that as he joins us live next. And, hey, Rex, here we go. Little sneaky hembo for you. Which team has the longest active drought without having a top 10 scoring offense? That's the question. Rex has the answer next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and Rex looks tortured. Oh. Here we go. Which NFL team has the longest active drought without a top 10 scoring offense?
I mean, the first thing you think of, I know everybody's going to say, Rex, your Jets are terrible. Probably true. All right, so kind of take them out. Then you got the Browns have been terrible forever. And so I'm just going to say the Miami Dolphins.
That's right.
Dude, yeah.
Yes.
Hello, Hippo. I got it on some for you. There you go, my friend. I own you. I own you. Are you kidding me? Where'd that come from? Out of nowhere, my friend.
I'll say this. I'm in.
Oh, boy.
I'm infinitely more surprised that Rex got that right than I am that the Dolphins beat the Bills yesterday. Let's show you how they did that.
Yeah,
Rex is red hot. Danny, let's show everyone who's just getting up and just joining us how it went down yesterday. South Florida is the scene, fourth quarter. Dolphins with the ball. They're down by three, but not for long. Look at this throw to Jalen Waddle.
I love that. They're taking advantage of two high safety post, middle of the field, third and 22. Beautiful eyes and ball by Tua.
And then RC, we've got Josh Allen, fourth quarter, fourth down and goal. He's got a man open.
Yeah, you don't expect Josh Allen to miss that throw. Those are the MVP throws you expect him to make.
And it was that kind of day for him. And then here's how the game ends, Dan Orlovsky. They run out of time.
Yeah, Josh Allen's trying to find a way to make a play to get this ball out and then have a chance for a Hail Mary. They're unprepared for the play to take so long, and they can't get to the line of scrimmage to either get a Hail Mary up with a 9-1-1 call or get the ball spiked to make sure you could have one final attempt.
Instead, after the end of the first half, concluded with the Bills not getting a kick in the air. The game ends in the same way. The frustration from the offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. The Dolphins are the only 3-0 team in the AFC. And well, it's not enough that we are having this conversation on this Monday morning, but look who is up with us from LA about 29 minutes before First Take begins. It's Stephen A. Smith. So Stephen A., that seems to all of us to have been the game of the day and the result of the day. What do you take away from the Dolphins primarily knocking off the Bills yesterday? Miami, the last unbeaten in the AFC.
Not much to me. It's not to take any credit away from the Miami Dolphins, because obviously they're better and they're far more impressive than they've been in the past, especially when you consider the fact that you got a guy like Tyreek Hill that only had like two receptions for 33 yards in a day and they still won the game. You got to give them credit. Please don't get me wrong. But in the same breath, we know that's not the Buffalo Bills that we expect to see. We know what kind of throws Josh Allen is capable of making, and for some reason he missed a guy right in the right side, wide open in the end zone. You missed that. Obviously you had some special teams mishap. You had a butt punt, for crying out loud. you know, for once we get to not talk about Mark Sanchez. I mean, you look at the Buffalo Bills, they were a comedy of errors yesterday, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, which is why Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, was seen, you know, being apoplectic. We get all of that. This is not the Buffalo Bills that you expect to see. And it would be one thing if the Dolphins beat them. The final score says that they did. But clearly the Buffalo Bills beat themselves yesterday. We'll see as the season progresses. That's why I don't take much away from it.
And a huge factor in this, for those just joining us, and Stephen A., so you hear it as well, Rex, once again, on the significance of where this game was played in September.
Biggest home field advantage in the National Football League is in September, especially Miami. The way they have you, you're cooking in the sun the entire time. When they're in the shade, it's the way the stadium is built. They put you in that thing, and you wilt in the fourth quarter, and I saw it here. Man, the offensive weapons were doing it. We saw it when Josh Allen's trying to spike the football, the sweat and everything else, and guys pulling up. They had nothing left. They were gassed. That's why I agree with Stephen A. I agree with the fact that the Buffalo Bills are the number one team in the league.
Hold on, Steve.
I can confirm that the heat near South Beach does have a profound impact.
Yes, One other thing from that game that we haven't touched on, but certainly it is one of the things that most people were on Twitter yesterday, and that is that we saw the play late in the first half where Tua goes down, he hits his head backwards on the, you know, on the back on the ground here after being hit by Matt Milano. And then came back in the game to everyone's surprise. The NFL Players Association is initiating a review of the concussion protocols of his return to the game. For what it's worth, he said afterwards, RC, it was his back that was bothering him here and not his head. What was your reaction to him coming back?
It was also Jalen Ramsey's back that was bothering him before he was traded to the Los Angeles Rams. The first thing that comes to my mind is that the NFL is being intentional about protecting its football players, especially its most high-profile football players. And when the perception of Tua Tagovailoa running back to the line of scrimmage and stumbling in that manner is so bad, especially to the outside fan and to the public, you almost think that the NFL has to step in and say, we're taking a stand. We're going to make sure that everything is done right to get this player back to the field. Apparently, he cleared the concussion protocol, but when you just look at it from the perception, right, and the way it seems, it almost seems like the NFL chose, or the Miami Dolphins chose, winning a game over protecting their quarterback.
What do you think of it, Stephen A.?
Oh, they were lying their behinds off. We all know that that was a damn concussion. I mean, I'm not buying that one bit that it was a back issue. I'll leave it to the football aficionados to confirm or deny my assertion. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way in hell I believe that was a back issue that he got up from and then stumbled back down. I don't blame the NFLPA for investigating, but also, I'm also not blaming Tua or anybody else. This is a big, big game for the Miami Dolphins organization. And if you're any kind of player, you want to be a part of it. He clearly did not want to come out of that game, but he clearly appeared concussed to me. I don't want
to
hear anything about
that. Football players do. Football players play.
But, so whose job is it to then make sure he
can?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. The league's got to sit back and say, wait a second. You're right. That player is going to go in there and shake it off. I have to play in this. No, we got to protect the players from ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. That's why the protocols are set up this way. And I can't believe that he could pass the protocols. I mean, I really can't, because when you turn around, all of a sudden now he comes back. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that we got to realize the greatest assets about this game, this beautiful game, the NFL, is our players.
Yeah.
Protect our players over anything else.
But I believe they do. And that's why, I mean, no longer are you allowed as a player to go, well, I really want to go back in, I'm fine. And everyone be like, oh, he said he's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these independent people that are paying attention to this. You have all these different protocols that you have to pass. So my theory is that this was the case. I mean, there's no longer the opportunity for a guy to, and I get that.
That's the case.
But here's my thing, Rex. No longer can guys tell you, no, I'm good. I feel fine. I just got my bell rung.
Yeah, they can tell you as a coach, and I see you walking off the field like that, I'm not putting you back in.
I'm not saying that he didn't clear the protocol, right? Like, clearing the protocol, like, you understand you could get dinged up and come back and pass all the tests. Don't lie to me, though.
No.
Right? Like, don't pee on my face and tell me it's rain. Say, yeah, I was dinged up a little bit, right? But I came to, and I felt a lot better, and I was able to pass. Don't tell me your back was hurt. The one thing gonna happen, if my back hurt, I might walk tight. I might be knock-kneed and pigeon-toed, but I'm for sure not stumbling.
You ain't never had a back.
He's trying to protect somebody.
PA finds out. Today is a very big day for Stephen A. for two reasons. We'll get to the second in a moment. Let's start, however, with Monday Night Football, Stephen A. How about them Cowboys and the Giants today? Let's put the picks. We've got all of it. We all made picks on this thing, including you, Stephen A. Who wins Monday Night Football tonight?
I pick. The Cowboys are losing tonight. I mean, I don't know why you asked me that question. Them damn Cowboys on Monday Night Football with Cooper Rush. I mean, the story has been nice and all of that stuff, looking like Richie Cunningham from Happy Days back in the day. But it ain't going to work tonight. I mean, they're going to lose because they find different ways to lose. Their lack of depth and, of course, being without Dak Prescott, I think the Giants take them tonight.
RC, you're the only pick for the Cowboys on my screen. Why?
Well, I'm betting on the Cowboys defense. I'm betting on that rush from Micah Parsons. I'm betting on Trayvon Diggs being able to make a play off of Daniel Jones, who will give you an opportunity to intercept the football. Well, and I do believe that Cooper Rush and what this run game can do can produce enough points to win. You got to think, when you look at what the Giants have done, what it was 21 against the Tennessee Titans, I believe, and I think 19 when you win last week against the Carolina Panthers. They don't score a ton of points. So Cooper Rush does doesn't have to come out and be Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, because, you know, redheads, you know,
I think that's right. I saw where you went there.
Yeah, but I think they have an opportunity to win.
And so I mentioned, it's a big day for Stephen A. for two reasons. Today is also the debut, the launch of his brand new podcast. It is called No Mercy with a K-N-O-W.
Okay.
And this is a bit of a departure. And Stephen A., I know how important this is to you, because most people associate you with sports. But knowing you as I do, I know your interests go well beyond that. And that's what you're exploring beginning today.
Absolutely. Pop culture, entertainment, politics, news, current events. The list goes on and on, obviously. Throughout the years, people have seen me on numerous channels and numerous stations and networks and what have you, talking about things beyond the world of sports. And that's what this podcast is all about for me personally. I've waited a long time to do it. It's not a sports podcast, even though from time to time I may touch on sports issues. It's completely owned by me. I own 100% of it. I'm completely 100% in charge of all content. And in conjunction with Cadence 13, in terms of my distribution, you can find it everywhere you can find podcasts. So it's a really exciting day for me, and I'm really, really happy. And I appreciate y'all having me on to promote it.
Well, and the very first guest on today's episode is LL Cool J. So you can't start any better than that. Stephen A., we will see you in 20 minutes for First Take. You are the best Stephen A.
One and a half handsome people on the show.
In the meantime, we have a whole lot more coming as we continue here. A reminder, Saturday night, we got a big game for you. We got Clemson coming off a thrilling double overtime win, taking on NC State, a monster game in the ACC. Chris and Kirk have the call, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. Coming up, many believe the Eagles were the best in the NFC East before it started. Should they have been thinking bigger? Fly, Eagles, fly. We might hear that all the way to February, and we'll explain why next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord. As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a smile. It is that moment we look forward to all week long. If you are not following Ryan Clark on your NFL Sundays, you're missing a lot. So we'll catch you up on some as he explains his tweets. Here we go. From the Battle of the Bays, Ryan tweeted, "Who would have thought the GOAT and the boat would be on the field at the same time and it would be an absolute dumpster fire of offense? This is like watching Josh Freeman and Scott Tolzien duel in a hot one. I need a shot of espresso."
Hey, man, I am going to sleep. And don't get me wrong, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback I've ever played against. And I believe Aaron Rodgers is the best. And with both of them on the field, I was like, can we watch a different game? I would have enjoyed watching Vanderbilt Wake Forest more than I enjoyed this game yesterday. But it was about defense, and it's about the changing of the guard and understanding that even these great quarterbacks need people around him. But what we did see was Aaron Rodgers elevate his team and Tom Brady get his team within a 2-point conversion of winning. I don't want Scott Tolzien, and I don't want Josh Freeman, and neither does Tampa and Green Bay. So they're waiting for their all-time great.
to be all-time great.
At least it gave us a good finish. Speaking of which, all right, the next one is from Buffalo, Miami. And Ryan tweets, Q, I'm weak laughing at Ken Dorsey. He threw the headphones down 1.5 feet and ruffled the mess out of his papers. That's some QB physicality. We have watched Tom do way worse for one missed block. With two failed drives at the park, I ended the game. I need something to break. RC, explain that tweet.
Who in the hell is Q?
Didn't you write Q?
That's cuh.
C-U-H is cuh?
That's like say cuh.
What's that?
Like say cuh. It's not Q.
Q.
Q is Q-U-E.
Well, I
it's like,
okay.
Like cousin, like yeah. Say cuh.
Was it just say cuh?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I can't even talk about the tweet anymore.
I didn't understand. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I didn't understand any of it.
Well, what I'm talking about is first, like say cuh, like I'm hollering at the people, right?
Oh,
the people
that say cuh.
Yeah.
Like a cuh.
Like cousin.
Okay.
Never mind. Anyway, but Ken Dorsey, right? Like he's not even mad. When you throw the headphones down to the counter, that's a problem. Stand up first so we can have some width and some depth and some lift to the toss. And when you grab your papers, don't just grab them and ruffle them a little bit. Like throw them at the dude next to you. Throw them against the glass in front of you. Or maybe throw them behind you. That's not even being real mad. That's the most pocket passing quarterback pissed off I've ever seen. Like you gotta do it like you do. Threat, like a dual threat guy would have ran up and down the press box like this with the papers before he threw them down. I don't like the way Ken Dorsey gets mad or the way you say cuz.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to lie to you. I missed half of that because everyone in my ear is laughing about the way I said the word. Okay, but let's move on to the next one. Here we go. Y'all can stay silent if you want to on Lamar Jackson, but the man is flat out bawling. No, it's not surprising, but the hate needs to turn to love and quick. Y'all ain't going to be right all the time. If you missed on the running back, it's cool. Say sorry, I was dead as wrong.
Yeah,
RC, explain that tweet.
It's like everybody wants to stick with the first thing they thought about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He's a running back or stupid defensive coordinators. He's not a top 10 guy. He can't be a top tier quarterback. Hey, you know what? Sometimes, Greeny, it's okay to go to somebody and say, guess what? I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Because you've been wrong about Lamar Jackson. Who's the most wrong? It's the Baltimore Ravens. This offseason, you had an opportunity to sign him to a contract that made sense. The one you're going to have to sign next year is going to be totally irrational and illogical because of the way he's playing. He's going to be able to walk in there and drive the Brink truck and say, fill it up. And I want you to fill it up with ones, too, in case I want to go to South Beach and throw them at Tootsie's. Because Lamar Jackson is playing out of his mind. He's making plays in the run and the pass. And he's the only reason they're even decent because the defense stinks now. The run game is not there. It's all about what eight does, and we have to start respecting it.
You use this line on Get Up over the summer, and I use it all the time. It's not. He's not a system quarterback. He is the system. The system is Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Right now, he's the best player in the entire sport. That's RC. Good job, Cuff.
You.
Fair enough. In the meantime, another MVP candidate right now is Jalen Hurts. It has to be said. Jalen Hurts against old friend Carson Wentz. And I say that advisedly. And you know what? The Eagles, they were ready for Wentz. It was this kind of day, Dan. They dominated the Washington offensive line.
Greeny, 9 different players for this Philadelphia Eagles defensive line pressured him 16 times. You can make a case. This is the best defensive line in all of football.
Wentz was sacked 9 times. Meanwhile, where's the tackling?
That's the worst defense in the National Football League right there. Man, oh, man.
That's Dallas Goedert untouched on a screen. Eagles up 10-0, and then blah, 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 this throw. Mm,
it's perfect. You get the slant versus zone coverage. You put on the back hip to allow A.J. Brown, the big body receiver, to shield that defensive back.
Eagles up 17-0, and then Devontae Smith had an unbelievable day. How about these two plays at the end of the half?
May not be big, but he plays it. You get the inside release go route. Give your guy a chance. I love the fact that he goes up to go make that catch and contest his face, and then it's 4th and goal. And this is where you can really tell if a guy trusts and is confident in another guy. He's not open unless you make the perfect throw, and he goes and makes the perfect contested catch.
Awesome.
Beautiful connection.
How about the going for it on the 4th and goal there rather than kicking a field goal at the end of the half? They dominate this game. If it's possible for a game to finish 24-8 and not be nearly as close as the final score would indicate. And so what do we say right now? Right this minute, you just talked about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
What do we say about
Jalen Hurts.
The first thing you say about Jalen Hurts is, if you're having the MVP conversation, he's in it. And if you're talking about the most improved football player in the entire NFL, it's Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts was an offense, right? Or if Jalen Hurts was an organization, if the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts, went out and played, he'd be the 11th overall offense in the entire NFL.
Yep.
What he's been able to produce and the things that he's been able to do for this team are things that we said in the offseason we did not know he can do. And when you look at the way Devontae Smith is elevated, the way A.J. Brown is playing, and the run game that they have, sky's the limit for this player.
He's got more yards than 23 other teams or 22 other
22
teams?
22 other teams.
I want to make a quick point here because you just said people don't want to give Lamar Jackson. They didn't believe in him, and now they won't acknowledge it. You didn't believe in Jalen Hurts. Do you now?
No, 100%. And, I mean, look, work still matters. And the thing that I love best about Jalen Hurts is his team showed the confidence in him. We're going to trade for A.J. Brown. We traded two draft picks to get you Smith. All right, so now what's he do? He works in the entire offseason to be more accurate on the deep ball. And, look, he's always had running back skills at the quarterback position.
Right.
It's incredible. But now he's got the accuracy to go with it right here. He can beat you with his arm and he can beat you with his leg.
What are you seeing, Danny?
He's fixed or changed the one thing he couldn't do last year, which is throw the deep ball. Mm-hmm. And if he throws the deep ball the rest of the season like he did yesterday, good night, Irene. You know, go balls to Devontae Smith. Ball snapped at the 39. 1, 2, 3, and hits. The perfect throw is 44 yards down the field right on the sideline. Yep, that is absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Another challenging thing, and RC knows this, you can't play this team in empty. Watch pass glove at the top, Devontae Smith on shallow at the bottom. Get in the defender's way. Avoid contact. That shows me that you're well coached and you're selfless, but they're very difficult to defend. And then Green, we talked about this defensive line, man. That's a big difference in this team. This defensive line has not been what they should have been the past couple of seasons. This year so far, they've played big time football, but I can't get over Jalen Hurts' growth, because the one thing that I was really critical about with him was I did not believe he had the arm strength to really generate explosive plays down the field. I'm telling you, go balls, 1, 2, 3, 44 yards down the field on the sideline. That's literally perfection. That's how you draw it up in a piece of paper. That ball is perfect, man.
Say it with me. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the NFC, 100%. Top to bottom, and their quarterback is a huge part of the reason why. We are so excited about the premiere of our next ESPN film. It's titled Yankees, Dodgers, and Uncivil War.
Okay.
It's about the baseball rivals that squared off in the World Series in 77 and 78. I was a kid watching those games. It was epic. Tomorrow, 9 Eastern on ESPN. It'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately after the premiere. Coming up, for a few hours yesterday, Mark Sanchez was on top of the world. And then Dan Orlovsky said, hold my beer. Which of them got off the hook more yesterday? You'll find out next.
Oh, that's great.
Don't forget, Week 3 finishes up tonight. Giants, Cowboys, head-to-head, Week 3. ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes. Peyton and Eli are on ESPN2. Monday Night Countdown starts it all at 6 Eastern. Okay, very quickly, who is more off the hook after we had yesterday in Miami? The butt punt. Does that let Sanchez off the hook? Or was it Jimmy Garoppolo stepping out of the back of the end zone last night in Denver as he stepped out? Dan, you don't get a vote because you're involved in this. Who's off the hook now, Sanchez or Orlovsky? RC.
It's definitely Dan. It's
definitely my guy!
Like, the butt punt isn't close enough to the butt fumble. What do you think?
No, I'm going to say Sanchez because I'm not going to let Dan off the hook like that.
And because you were the coach when Mark Sanchez did that.
There's that too.
So we got a split vote there. But Dan, you were the number one trending topic last night. And congratulations, you are no longer alone. Okay, there's only one way we wrap up on Mondays. Go ahead, Danny. The floor is yours.
I mean, again, yesterday was the best day that's happened to me in a long, long time. All right, so the joke is, what did Mike Tyson say after working out with Chris Hemsworth?
What did Mike Tyson say
Hello,
after
Thor? You're going to be Thor in the morning.
Shut up. Oh. Shut up. You're going to be Thor.
First thing.
Bye.
You're
gonna be in the go to first thing.
You're going
to
be
after
Thor.
This, the
you're
best be Monday Thor we've had morning. Ever in life. Morning. And that's what you give me?
I'm going to say this. That was way worse than running out of the back of the end zone.
I've been saving that one for weeks.
See you tomorrow. First take starts now.